Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
You know, a lot of the ways that you and I walk through our stuff is when we see the story of someone else. And you see grace at work, the Word of God at work, the power of Jesus at work in another life. And by seeing how they've walked through it, it can encourage you to keep walking. And a very dear friend of mine, Pastor Stovall Weems, pastors an amazing church in Jacksonville, Florida. It's only about a decade old. You helped start that church through various ways. And he's just been a dear friend. He's one of my closest friends. He's a pastor who speaks into my life. He's a pastor that I look to for leadership. And really, he's probably one of our closest friends, Dylan and I. Dylan will be going over there in a couple weeks to be a part of their women's conference. But Pastor Stovall just walked through something. And I wanted him to come and share for a few minutes. And we're going to pray at the end of our service. We're going to pray for those that are walking through things together. I just felt led to do that. I want to talk for a few minutes about the whole idea of giving yourself out of Matthew chapter 10. About giving your life, you find your life. But then I also want to take a moment to do this. Why don't you welcome Pastor Stovall Weems as he comes right now. Come on, show your love. Great pastor, dynamic friend of this house. Oh, that's great. We're a part of the ARC team, so he was able to be here this week. He spoke a dynamic message and was, provide so much leadership for ARC and our church. And I called him yesterday. I said, hey, would you take a moment, come on stage, and just share about what you've walked through? Because you've had a wild couple of months. And some of the church knows because we prayed for you. But some of them don't know. Can you just unpack what's gone on in a way that it would minister to the people?
Yeah. Hey, how's everybody doing? good to be with you guys today. Well, basically, last year, I turned 40 years old. And I just had a thought. I thought, I'm 40 years old now. Maybe I need to go get one of those detailed physical checkups. Just have them really scope me out and, you know, just see if they can find whatever. I felt great. I exercise and I, you know, run and lift weights and all that stuff. And so it wasn't that I was feeling bad. It was just kind of all of a sudden I felt, hey, maybe I need to go check myself out. And so I went over in January to the Cooper Clinic in Dallas, and I almost didn't go. It was a very busy time for us. So I was in the middle of a 21-day fast. That was during awakening back in January. And, you know, it's no fun getting a detailed physical in the middle of a 21-day fast. But I just really felt like I should go. And so I went over there and went through all the checkup stuff. And lo and behold, they found that my aorta, the aorta, do you want the Stovall medical version? I've got this stuff down now. It's going to help you understand the human body, okay?
Come on.
The aorta is basically the hose that plugs into the heart, okay? And it kind of comes out of the heart like a candy cane. It kind of rounds out like that. I know some of you in the medical profession are just cringing right now, but this is the Stovall layman's version, okay? And so it plugs into the heart. It comes out like a candy cane and goes down, and it dispenses blood throughout the body. And what they found was they found that right above the aortic root where it plugs into the heart, it was swollen. It was enlarged very dangerously and could basically rupture at any moment. And if it ruptures, it's pretty much fatal immediately. And so basically, you know, it was a shock. You know, I was sitting there. I went through it. I thought everything was fine. And I'll never forget, you know, you're going to get some heavy news when not one doctor but three doctors walk in the door. And I know some of you have experienced that. And the doctors come in and they looked at me and they explained my condition. And they said, you know, this can be fatal. This is serious. It's enlarged to the point.
You're there by yourself.
I'm there by myself.
And they're unpacking all this.
And, you know, a lot of thoughts go through your head. And I'll never forget the doctor there, the head cardiologist there said, Stovall, you've had this all your life, this condition that caused this enlargement. And they told me two things. They said, first of all, this was undetectable by any normal exam. So it would have continued to go on undetected. I've had it all my life. They just said, we'd have told you two things if we'd have found this when you were a young man. We'd have told you, whatever you do, don't play contact sports and don't lift heavy weights, which is what I did for most of my young life.
Oh, yeah.
And then she said, you know, you can look at these last 40 years of your life. It's like you've been running out on a busy interstate, and it's just a miracle that you haven't got hit. And
wow.
We've got to get this taken care of immediately.
So you get this news. We've talked a little bit about this, but not totally. They walk out. Yeah. What are you thinking? Who do you call? What's those first couple hours about? How are you processing this? You're a pastor. God's using you. You're on television all over the world. Church is growing. You have a wonderful family. You have great friends. All of a sudden, okay, I'm 40. And, I mean, this is a tough surgery. What gets you that first moment? How do you respond?
Well, you know, you try to take it all in. And, you know, I was just trying to, I guess I was kind of in shock for the first few hours. You're trying to make sure that, I guess, the doctors are right, you know, like, are you sure? You know, I feel great. And, you know, is this like surgery real serious? I'll never forget what they told me. They're like, Stovall, any open heart surgery is serious surgery, okay? I think what they were trying to do is make sure that I would go through with it because they were concerned, which of course I would go through with the surgery immediately. But, you know, you think about a lot of things. You think about your, you know, it was interesting. I think I said this at the conference a little bit. It was more interesting what I did not think about. And what I did not think about was ministry stuff. I didn't think about, you know, how whatever the church is doing or ministry stuff or all that kind of stuff. I just immediately, all my thoughts went to Carrie and the kids. And, you know, and then is that kind of, you kind of process that. You start thinking, you know, if I've been the father that God wanted me to be, if I've been the husband that wanted me to be. It's amazing how the things that really matter immediately come to the surface, you know. So,
well, it's almost you want to try to get life down to the things that really matter before you're forced to have to do that.
Yes.
That's, I don't know about you. That's the struggle. That's the hard thing about life is how do I live my life and narrow with everything going on what really matters. You were kind of forced to do that. And how does that relate to people that are saying, well, I'm not in that situation, but how important is it for it not to be that, for us to see what really matters?
Yeah. I mean, obviously I just think it's crucial. And this is one of those things that God used to really get me to recognize those things. And I've made several changes. I actually made the changes before the surgery as to what God was dealing with me about. And so, you know, I just encourage you to get before God and write down those four or five things that are your life priorities that only you can do and what you're going to stand before God for. And the most important things are family, you know, and for us, and you know, the church is in there, but you know, if Stovall's not healthy and if Stovall's not on fire for God and if I'm not a healthy father and a husband, if all those things aren't at premium health with God, the church and the ministry is not going to be what it's supposed to be.
Yeah,
or be what
good.
It should be.
That's,
you know?
Good. Amen. That's good. So what went on? Take us
well,
through the process of those months and the surgery and what happened.
So all that happened that day, and I went back to the hotel that night where I was staying, and that was difficult because you didn't have any family there. So I was back at the hotel.
Wow.
And I was in the middle of this fast. And it was interesting. I felt like, okay, I need to eat now. You know, this is heavy and I'm drained. And it was real interesting. The Holy Spirit came to me and said, don't break your fast. Mm. And I felt like that it was really the devil was tempting me to break my fast. And so, I just sought God that night. And, you know, I said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.
Yeah.
And my emotional flesh was craving like to eat and comfort. And the Holy Spirit said, you seek God and he'll be your comfort.
Wow.
And so I sought God, and God spoke to me three things that night. The first thing that he spoke to me was, I was thinking about, wow, 40 years I could have dropped dead at any moment. And he quickened to me the scripture that the Lord preserves the way of his saints. And the doctors were like, okay, you need to be careful when you fly, and you need to be careful. You know, you got to get in for surgery as quick as possible. And so that was the word that he gave me. Look, I've preserved you for 40 years. I know how to preserve you until you get
That's
this taken
word.
Care of. And then the other thing that he
said. So that brought a peace.
It brought a tremendous peace.
Because there had to be fear knocking on the door.
Absolutely.
Panic knocking on the door. So the word brought you peace in your
Absolutely.
Life for real.
Absolutely. And I'll say this. It's two things. As much as comfort and encouragement that we get from all of our friends and all of our church family, there's some things that only the voice of God can speak to you about.
That's good.
And that's why it's so important for all of us to have that time where we're hearing the voice of God and not all the other voices in our life. And he spoke to me. I was on a fast, so he spoke to me out of Isaiah 55, the fasting scripture, that my healing shall spring forth speedily, and the glory of the Lord shall be my reward. And then he spoke to me that he would demonstrate his power in me. And then he spoke some things to me that were just awesome. I don't feel like I'm at liberty to share, but I would say that in the big picture, my times with Jesus from the time that I got that news up until probably 6 weeks after the surgery with the recovery, even in the intensive care in the hospital, were the most awesome times with Jesus in my entire life. And I would never want to go through that again. But I would not trade those times with Jesus for anything in the world. And in the big picture, I'm very grateful for it. I'm thankful for it. And it was just awesome. And I want to encourage anyone that's maybe, you know, that you have a sickness or you're dealing with something, and maybe you're believing God for healing.
Yeah.
You know, healing is a very big word in the Bible. But did you know that word healing, if you look it up, a lot of times it talks about that God will bring us recovery. That's what the word healing actually means in the Hebrew and the Greek. And there's some forms of that word healing in the Hebrew where we actually get our modern day word hospice from. And so sometimes God heals us instantly, but in my case, all I can say is, you know, we prayed for instant healing, but I'm telling you, God, that's not what he wanted to do. And in fact, I stopped praying for it pretty quickly afterwards, because all that he was speaking to me, preserve the way of the saints and all those things, were telling me that I was going to go through the surgery. And then he confirmed it, you know, like they were able to get me in with this incredible world-renowned surgeon at Mayo, Minnesota, like 2 weeks. He doesn't even accept people. It would have taken me a year to get an appointment with him.
Gosh.
Like in 2 weeks, just like that, he agreed to take me because he specializes in that surgery. And the most important thing is whenever I know if God would have healed me instantly, as awesome as that would have been, there's no way that God could have done the things in me that he wanted to do. And so God
But most people don't want to hear that.
They don't want to hear it. I didn't want to hear it.
Brother Wayne always tells me that we want deliverance, God wants development.
Yes, yes. And here's the thing, God is our healer. You know, it's not the doctor, it's not the prayer. God is our healer.
Yeah,
he
God
can
is.
Use whatever he wants. And the number one thing that he wants whenever we enter into a time of suffering in any way, shape, or form is he wants to be glorified. And so if God in his wisdom sees that an instant healing is going to be the best way that he's glorified, then I think a lot of times we'll receive an instant healing. If God in his wisdom deems that us walking through a process of suffering and glorifying him in that, if he sees that as the best way that he's going to receive glory from our lives and the lives of others, then we need to walk through that process and we need to suffer well. And that was the other thing that the Lord told me right before I was about to enter into the surgery. He said, he told me I needed to suffer well. Because if we
suffer. What does that mean, suffer well?
It means when we go through difficulty or pain, we have that Christ-like attitude of gratefulness and thankfulness that we don't complain. I believe that suffering well, in fact, I'm starting a series on it next week in our church. I believe that suffering well is one of the most powerful things that we can do as That's believers good. In Christ. And when we suffer well, God is glorified. Mm. And whatever that healing process or whatever he's doing in our lives moves forward much more quickly.
That's good.
And so, you know,
it's all over the Bible, if you think about it.
It's all over it.
Yeah. The whole idea of when you're persecuted, when people come against you, when you walk through perilous times, how you respond, how you react, glorifies God or it doesn't.
Yes. Yeah, and a lot of times we suffer, and I would honestly say in my life, in the first 10 years of ministry, I didn't suffer well. I would rush things. I would complain. I would not like the process that I was in. You know, Dino, you spoke a real powerful message at ARC about don't despise the small things. And how you came to that point so many years ago where God dealt with you and said, until you learn to appreciate the small and where I have you at this point in your life, I will not bring you the big.
Yeah.
Well, that's suffering well. Where whatever God has you in, whatever season that God has you in, you don't despise that.
Yeah.
That you thank God for it and you honor him and you demonstrate Christ's likeness in that.
That's good.
And then God moves you forward.
Can I ask you one more question? And I want everybody to hear this because I think this is important. And how did you handle why me? Now, that's a person in a marriage. Why am I in this situation? How did you handle the why me and why and how did you guide that? Because I don't think I never heard it much from you, but there had to be a temptation of, okay, why me? Was that anything you processed or did the Lord just overwhelm you to the point where it's like, hey, I'm good to go?
There's always some of that, definitely. And because I didn't know how it was going to look on the other side, but, you know, I know, just all of you know from the longer that you live life, the more you know that life has several curveballs that come your way, you know? And so that was just kind of a core belief in God that I had about life, that we all get curveballs. We get those things out of the blue. I've preached them before.
Yeah.
We get these things out of the blue, and if they don't fit in our theology of who God is and what my life is supposed to look like, unfortunately, that can be a seed for us falling away, getting angry at God or resenting something. And so I had preached that. And so when this came, because of that foundation in the Word, I just, you know, this is a curveball. I wasn't expecting that. God, I'm gonna suffer well. And I know that on the other side, that Stovall is going to be much better for it. And I can tell you from coming out, you know, it's 12 weeks on Tuesday.
Wow.
Since the surgery, and everything that God spoke to me has come to pass, or I feel is in the process of coming to pass. And you know, my times with Jesus and my family, it's, you know, it's almost like I've been born again. And I don't know.
Born again.
You know, it's as far as pastor transparency moment, which this can be one. Honestly, for the last couple of years in my life, I feel that, you know, I'd gotten fatigued. I'd gotten burned out. I was not appreciating as much the things I need to appreciate.
Yeah.
And I don't think God had to do that or use that.
Yeah,
you know, absolutely. But
and I want to pray for the sick here in a minute. Those that are fighting sickness in their body, or they're believing God, or they're walking through a testing, or maybe they're in treatment or some type right now. They're in a process and they've been believing God for healing, but they're still on their medicine. They're just sorting through all that. How has your compassion been towards?
It's been
somebody says, "Man, I've got surgery next week. I just found this out." Versus maybe before. I know my mother had cancer. And I walk with that through her. Now when I hear somebody say, "I've got cancer," I see it so much differently than I did before. Was it personal experience in my own life?
Yeah. I mean, I had to repent, you know. And it's just been a whole nother deal when I hear people. You know what I thought about? And so many of you that I know, Carrie and I being from here, that prayed for me, what I thought about, and I could feel the prayers and how much love and how much support we had. You know what I thought about, Dino? I thought about how many people go through something like this and nobody's praying for them. And nobody is, I felt like it was almost like unfair, like I had so many prayers. And so I resolved in my heart, I'm going to pray for the people that have nobody praying for them. And, you know, so me relating and praying for people that are going through surgeries, obviously just gone to a whole nother level. And the best thing I want to encourage anyone that's going through something or about to go through something, I just want to encourage you to suffer well and to take this as a time as I'm going to glorify God and I'm going to get to know Jesus maybe in a way, maybe in the fellowship of his sufferings in just a small way and glorify God. And at the end of the day, when we give God glory, he responds.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.